We cannot let their voices stifle our cause. This political crisis puts our head in their jaws. History is upon us. We've seen this before. We can never allow freedom to exit our shore. Good afternoon and welcome to the Trump Chronicle. I'm your host, Ray Brookstein. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think that socialism has come to our country, then you might want to take a closer look at the state of California. You know, Horace Greeley once loosely uttered kind of famous words we all know, which were, "Go west, young man, and grow with the country." And really what he was doing is he was encouraging that pioneering spirit. They found gold, so we had the gold rush. And there was really opportunities for growth and building wealth. And certainly the railroads helped connect the West. And when you think about the natural resources in California, they're absolutely amazing. I mean, we think about the Beach Boys, we think about the beach, the Pacific Ocean, the redwood trees, the great cities of San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego, the valley, the agriculture, and all the wonderful things that drew people out west. But then there's the flip side, and that's the politics. And lately, that politics has been run by people that absolutely hate our president and the Make America Great philosophy. People like Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Dianne Feinstein. And I'm probably missing a few, so you guys will help fill me in. So what I want to do is I want to get into this with my two guests. And my guests are Deplorable Dave and Tamika Hamilton. Deplorable Dave, and that's certainly a badge of honor being deplorable, is a native Californian. He's a constitutional conservative libertarian. He's the founder of PatriotsRise.org, which is a grassroots, boots-on-the-ground activist group dedicated to educating the public and giving people the courage to rise up and speak out against what he calls the criminal, tyrannical government of California. Tamika Hamilton is a 33-year-old Black conservative Republican who is running for Congress in 2020 to unseat John Garamendi, the incumbent Democrat, in the 3rd Congressional District of California, which basically takes into account the space between San Francisco and Sacramento. She served 16 years in the Air Force, including 2 tours of duty in the Middle East. She and her Navy vet husband, who is also a law enforcement officer, have 4 children. So welcome, Dave. Welcome, Tamika.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, Tamika. Dave, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So I want to get us started, Dave. You made a very bold statement. A criminal, tyrannical government. Is California the model for socialism for America and for the world to see?
Everybody's heard the saying, you know, as goes California, so goes the nation. I would say, yeah, totally. I mean, it's more a model of communism than anything else.
Mm. And how would, and in what areas do you see that?
Take Gavin Newsom. Okay, so the people of California voted 11 times to uphold the death penalty. And in the last time, they not only voted to uphold the death penalty, but they voted to speed it up. So with one stroke of a pen, Gavin Newsom came along and abolished that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So it was the power in his pen. Well, let me throw it to Tamika. You know, Tamika, you grew up in Maryland, and that's kind of in the shadow of D.C. So you've been involved in the political environment for quite some time. And I don't know what they refer to as inside the Beltline or outside the Beltline. Tell us about, you know, how you see California in terms of what you learned being so close to D.C. growing up?
One of the things that I've learned growing up on the East Coast versus being here is people take care of people on the East Coast. I'm not saying it's perfect, but when I was growing up, even going back home recently, I did not see, I went back home in April for the Easter roll because we were privileged enough to get a ticket. So our whole family went there. And I while there are some people that want to be on the streets during the daytime, at night, there was nobody on the street. And I was just like, what is going on here? Where we have shelters to take care of these people. We have services that are available for them. And I come here and I don't even want to get out of my car when I go to San Francisco, let alone we see some of that evidence of them coming there in also in Solano County, because this is the hub for homeless. And you don't even want to like get out of your car because they're just in your face and not in a good way. You know, so one of the biggest things is just that if there's a need, it's being met to some degree. And then obviously there are people that don't want the help, you know, but here it's like they're just left and forgotten.
So it's really a matter of caring. And it seems that the politicians just don't care. What is their agenda?
I think that it's almost purposeful because people, it's almost purposeful because they already, I feel like they already have, a lot of people have given up. I've met a lot of people that want to move away. And I kind of liken it to when we had the government shutdown and, you know, they could have done funded it partially so that the parks and, could be sustained and people could be working those areas. But I was like, man, why? I said, the Democrats, I mean, here, that going to Yosemite, going hiking, that's like the thing you do. And when they let that go, I was like, they did this on purpose to blame him, you know? Mm-hmm. And I also feel like that's like exactly what they're doing now. Only is that it's that dirty little secret that they haven't been able to keep up. It's just like unraveling to the point to where they can't contain it. And it just seems very purposeful.
Now, Dave, a big issue right now is the control of the southern border. And can you tell us what it's like living in a state that has opened the door and really there's no stopping it? I mean, what are people saying? You've lived there your whole life.
Well, a couple of years back, there was a high-speed chase, and two sheriffs lost their life. I'm sure you probably heard about that. Mm-hmm. It was, I don't know, a year later after that, a Placer County sheriff and a Sacramento County sheriff. And it was a year later after that that they announced that Sacramento was a sanctuary state. And there are people walking around that were just pissed. I mean, here we lost two sheriffs by an illegal immigrant who had no remorse for the situation. As a matter of fact, when he was going through his trial, was mocking, you know, laughing at the victims. And for me, you know, the sanctuary status represents that. I mean, we're bringing in that criminal element and they don't care. I mean, just last week, Gavin Newsom pardoned a felon who was an illegal immigrant ready to be deported. They're literally treating these illegals better than they're treating us, the citizens of California, that pay the taxes, that, you know, obey the laws. It's insane. It's upside down and it's backward.
You know, Tamika, you're 33 years old, and obviously we've seen a major influence in Congress by several young freshman congresswomen, men and women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, this is where it's going, isn't it? Now, how important, obviously you're running for office, but I want to know, how important is it to get the younger people into the national dialogue? Because after all, you are the future of this country.
It's so important, yes. And it's one of those things where it's almost like a double-edged sword, because you can either get people that really have a heart for the people, or you have people that are in it for reasons, because they want power, because they see what being in Congress or being in politics can offer you outside, on the outside, I guess you could say. I mean, and, you know, I liken AOC to that, you know, when I was looking at her documentary, and I was just like, wow, like, people are going to be inspired by this. But it was at the same time I was thinking and looking at that, looking at it for the whole, what, 45 minutes that I could suffer through it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, people are also getting misinformation on how it really, really works. And, you know, I really want young men and women to have a heart for the people and not look to our elders as, you know, they're just, we need to look to our elders as for support as well, because, you know, right now we're seeing history repeat itself, but unfortunately we're seeing it repeat here in our own country versus issues that other countries have fought and overcome, and now it just seems like it's like a cycle that's happening again. So people need to be educated. Yes, we need young people, we need new faces, but we need people that really have a heart for the people and not trying to look at this as a power issue and to get power and to use that gain for something that's not going to work for the American people.
That's well said. So Dave, I want to continue on that tack of the illegal immigration. And I understand that they gave licenses, IDs, to illegal aliens so that they could vote. Is this what happened?
Yeah. In an amendment to the Voting Rights Act, and I think it was in the 90s, called the Motor Voter Registration Act, made it so that when you went to DMV to get a driver's license, you automatically got registered to vote. And in 2007, Governor Brown signed into law, because it was voted on, an order giving illegal immigrants driver's licenses. And it was sold to the people of California as for safety reasons. In the fine print of that bill, it relieves them or absolves them of all legal ramifications of being accidentally registered to vote and voting. So basically, if they vote, their vote is counted as legal, and they are not legally responsible for voting. So in 2007, they started handing out driver's licenses. Quickly after that, illegal immigrants were getting driver's licenses more readily, more than citizens of California were getting driver's licenses.
And unbelievable.
And everybody's well aware of the Judicial Watch lawsuit, where they found 1.5 million extra voters on the voter rolls in Los Angeles County. They also legalized ballot harvesting.
And what do you mean by ballot harvesting in your understanding?
My understanding of ballot harvesting is if somebody has an absentee ballot and they fail to turn that ballot in, you can go door to door collecting those absentee ballots that weren't turned in. Now, I don't know if you've seen, there's a YouTube video floating around of some lady going door to door telling people, if you're a Democrat, you voted Democrat, we want your ballot. And if not, we don't want it.
Wow. So even if the ballots weren't filled out, they would fill them out with them? In other words, after the election day?
You know, I can only assume.
That's unbelievable. I mean,
they made it legal.
You know, is there anybody, I mean, California, when you think back, I think about Ronald Reagan coming out of Hollywood. And then you had Arnold Schwarzenegger. You had him becoming governor. You had Ronald Reagan becoming president. I mean, it seems that California was really, the leadership was Republican, right?
Yeah.
So what happened? When did the switch get flipped? And who is responsible for flipping the switch? Do the people in California care?
I had a conversation with somebody earlier today, and I don't think it's that they don't care. I think it's that they don't care to get educated on the subject. I had a conversation with somebody earlier today, and we were talking about California politics. What we're talking about right now is actually preparation for this show. And I started talking about facts, and the response I got was, well, you might be right, but you know, I don't know enough about that subject to care, and quite frankly, I don't want to research it.
So it's more of an apathy. You know, now Just in terms of Tamika, I recently saw an interview where Garamendi was kind of sparring with one of the Fox News commentators about the issue of the wall and also President Trump's executive order trying to pull money that was kind of like laying there in the Pentagon that he wanted to apply so that he could build more of the wall. And basically Garamendi was saying, well, he can't really do that because we might have to prepare for movements in the against Iran and this group. So it's really a matter of priorities. And I'm saying to myself, in a country so large as ours, with so much wealth and so much being paid in taxes, couldn't we accomplish both priorities? Why does it have to be one against the other? You comment on that.
I think that John Garamendi, as well as the other people that have been, been sitting in these seats for eons, they are using the illegals as just like how they pandered black people, you know. And I hate to talk about race in this context, but from growing up to being in the military to seeing how, you know, there's one time I didn't care. To be honest with you, this because I just, going with the flow in the terms of like my culture and the little space that I have a long time ago, you know, they've really done a really good job of teaching us how to be victims. And then when you move forward to black people becoming enlightened, then now there's a shift where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, while we're a small percentage, we swing votes. And I think all of this just goes back to how can we play our cards right to get people to, what can we do to, like, it's almost like a dangling a carrot. And I think that they don't make it a priority until election season. And, you know, we're going to, and when I see when I see them spending like $100 billion on them and social programs and housing them and all that in one, I think it was like 1 year, mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, the money is there. The resources are there. They're using taxpayers' money as slush funds, but because we have been sleeping so long and we are not fighting back and we haven't, and we're not obviously tired enough, you know, they're banking on us to continue to sleep.
We're going to take a short break.
Patriots. Through his widely acclaimed poetry books, The Trump Chronicle, Ray Ray has preserved for us these historic events that have surrounded the first 2 years of the Trump presidency. His fervent and patriotic poems capture in real time what could have easily been lost or forgotten. The Trump Chronicle is available on Amazon or through the America Out Loud bookstore. Pick up a few of these memorable books for your library. They are a must-have for our MAGA movement. Let's support this important patriotic poet and show host so we can continue to read history through poetry.
Dave, I want to turn to the history of politics in California's. Sometimes it's really hard to figure out exactly what's going on and who the players are. Can you help us make sense out of some of the history in California, particularly in light of the major families that entered into politics some time ago?
Well, the connection dates back 80 years. Jerry Brown's father, Pop Brown, was the first Brown governor. He ran for district attorney in San Francisco, winning in 1943 with the help of Gavin Newsom's grandfather, William Newsom.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward a couple of decades, Pat Brown became governor, and he developed Squaw Valley for the 1960 Winter Olympics. And he awarded William Newsom and his partner, John Pelosi, the contract to run it. One of Pelosi's son, Paul, married Nancy D'Alessandro, better known as Nancy Pelosi. Another Pelosi married William Newsom's daughter, Barbara, making Nancy Pelosi Gavin Newsom's aunt.
So we're talking about a couple of families right to start that were very interconnected and related. So it's kind of like nepotism. Is that what we're seeing?
Sounds like the definition of nepotism.
So then what happened?
William Newsom wanted to make significant improvements to the ski complex, including a convention center, but Brown's Department of Parks and Recreation balked. Newsom and his son, an attorney named William, held a series of contentious meetings with officials over the issue. An 8-page memo about those 1966 meetings from the department's director, Fred Jones, buried that Pat Brown archives described Newsom as being embittered. The senior Newsom threatening to hurt the governor politically. Brown ran for a third term against Ronald Reagan, and we all know he lost, and Ronald Reagan won. Pat Brown's bid for a third term failed. As Brown's son, Jerry, reclaimed the governorship in 1974, and that's Jerry Brown, he appointed William Newsom, a personal friend, and Gavin's father to Placer County judgeship. In 1975, 3 years later, to the state Court of Appeals. Justin Newsom, who died a few weeks ago, had been attorney for oil magnate John Paul Getty. Famously,
John Paul Getty. Yep. So there we're talking about major money.
Major money.
One of the richest men in the world at the time.
Yes.
So was he starting to fund all of this?
Well, it gets even thicker into the, you know. Justice Newsom delivered $3 million to Italian kidnappers of Getty's grandson in 1973.
I remember the kidnapping.
While serving on the appellate bench in 1980s, he helped Getty's son Gordon secure an in-state trust law that allowed him to claim his share of a multi-heir trust. After Newsom retired from the bench in 1995, he became administrator of Getty's own trust.
Unbelievable. So, Tamika, you're listening to all of this, and you have a campaign. You want to run for Congress in 2020. What are you up against, and how do you strategize this?
So, one of the things that I decided to do is, you know, talk about. I'm up against old money. You know, I'm up against the old guard, and you know, I'm well aware everyone thinks that I'm crazy for doing it, except for lovely people like Dave and another awesome lady named Lonnie. The first thing that people say is like, are you sure you want to do something like that? And I'm thinking, well, if we keep going the way that we've been going, you know, no one's going to step up and people are going to leave this. I mean, a million people leave this state every year I can't think of the website I saw it on, but, you know, one of the biggest things that I'd look at is, you know, letting people know that I'm a Republican by foundation, you know, regardless of what people, how people view it today, doesn't mean that we can't go back to the foundation of how it all began. And it was a party based on freedom. Right now, our freedoms are being taken and we can list, I don't know how many, I mean, there's so many things to list on what has been taken from us and how they continue to do a gross injustice of a government overreach and no one's saying anything. And the main thing for me is just calling it out. We have to call it out and we can't be afraid and I have nothing to lose. You know, that actually sounds familiar, but I have nothing to lose by calling out the truth. And it's not about bashing anybody. It's about look at your community, look at your district. You have left it behind. People don't even know who he is, you know? And so a lot of people are voting by just the label of Democrat. But, you know, we have to do something. We have to do better. And the main thing is to call that out. And I think a lot of people will flip if we start pushing the truth out there.
Where do we see the freedoms being taken, Dave? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, you take a look at just the concept of a sanctuary state. To me, it's stealing. They're stealing, people are coming over the border and stealing our resources. Now, California has, I mean, they're not in the black, are they? I mean, there's tremendous debt in California. Any estimation?
Well, you know, I mean, it could be in the trillions. One of the big things that Jerry Brown boasted about was that he balanced the budget and he got us in the positive, right? And we have, I don't know, like a $6 billion slush fund. I tend to argue with that and think it's, you know, more in the $1 trillion deficit, but that's just my opinion. Yeah, you asked this, an interesting question. Government overreach, and what are we losing? Recently, the Senate revisited a bill from 2017 that would keep Trump off the primary ballot if he didn't turn over his tax returns for the last 5 years.
Talk about blackmail. Tell us about that.
Well, here's the interesting subject. I mean, Jerry Brown in 2017, he rejected it. The same bill, he vetoed it. And he mentioned that it was a slippery slope. And when you, one of the things that I notice is when you have Jerry Brown, Governor Moonbeam Brown, as the voice of reason for the Democratic Party and in California, you've got problems.
Well, you know, he came in from what I remember, because I grew up in the 60s. I graduated high school in the late 60s. We had the protests against the Vietnam War. We had Watergate. We had the assassinations of Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King. There was a lot of tumult in the late 60s. And, you know, it was, quote, the hippies of San Francisco and Marin County and all of that, that were always talking about, you know, they want freedom. And as we're seeing freedom expire today across the country, these same people that would be enraged by government interference, such as wiretaps and things like that, are all complicit nowadays. So you're fighting almost like an apathy. Don't people see when their freedoms are being taken? I mean, we're talking about socialism. They want to control what you eat, what you buy, how you travel. I mean, what happened to the high-speed train from Los Angeles to San Francisco, Dave?
The high-speed train started out as a $35 billion bill that was sold to the people of California as a $35 billion bond. And recent estimates had put it more towards the $70 billion range, being over budget.
I mean, it just fell flat. It just fell flat on its face. And finally they said, oh, well, my bad. We can't do it. Meanwhile, all of that money, all of those objects, and it was about the same time as AOC was talking about eliminating cars in her Green New Deal. Okay, completely, and building train tracks all over the United States. Well, we couldn't even build one from Los Angeles to San Francisco. How are we going to build trains across the United States? I mean, Tamika, you know, there are names in the Senate and Congress that are formidable. Adam Schiff, Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, Dianne Feinstein, Kamala Harris. These people are socialists. California, this is where they come from. So it indicates that California, it wants to become a socialist state. What I called in the beginning, is it a model of what the United States is going to look like, and that you're running up against this? You know, are you prepared to do this?
I am. I'm prepared to do it. I've been ready to do it. I had to make sure that, you know, my husband was okay with me doing it, to be honest, you know, because one of the things he looks at is, you know, me being a conservative black woman, people are already have their judgments about what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I was just like, I don't care. You know, I don't care, because the people matter. what's going on in the people matter, and what's happening to the people here is
you say that people matter. And recently, I don't remember who, but they were castigated for saying people matter because they felt there was an affront to Black Lives Matter. And
Oh my God. Boy,
that got taken out of context, didn't it?
You know what? I'm so over these movements. I'm so over it. I don't agree with any movement that doesn't speak to, they only are one-sided. Black Lives Matter is one-sided. And I don't care what other people have to say about it, especially people that, I'm not in a class. I'm an American. And I just so happen Amen. To be a Black woman. And I'm just so happen to be a Black woman. Amen. I am so sick of people trying to put me in a box because they felt like an injustice has happened. And when it comes to things that do happen in our society that are good or bad, you know, we just have to look to the source, and we have to look to that individual, that issue. And we should stop generalizing every single thing, because all we're going to do is hurt entities that we end up needing, which is like military, law enforcement. And when it comes to the old guard, people have been able to take them on and win. And we have a lot of young people that just need to be energized. A lot of people that have been a part of the old guard that are willing to walk away because they see the issues, and they see that if they don't do something, or somebody doesn't do something, that the things that they hold near and dear are not going to be available to them. You know?
No, of course. So, I think about you had strong military background.
Yes.
And you served in the Air Force for 16 years, a few years in the reserves, reading your bio and so on. So how important is the military and border security to you?
Oh my gosh, it's extremely important. You know, we have our soldiers out there now that are doing the best to protect the border. You know, the border is a simple thing. Every other country in the world has a law in place, whether they follow it or not, in regards to securing their border. Why we have become the enemy when it comes to the border security, I just look at it as another issue that stems from, you know, race baiting and trying to segregate us and keep this whole issue of race alive. In the negative light. And, you know, we must secure our borders. I mean, look at what's happening. What did they say? 80% of women and children that cross the border are molested or raped. Yes. Why is, like, and then you don't hear any of these new people that are in Congress outside of Dan Crenshaw speaking on it. And then on top of that, there are other new people in Congress besides the three people that they pump up. And so I'm just like, you know, and I don't want to get into all that, but at the end of the day, we must secure our borders. I feel for the people that really need the help, but they're not doing the American people any favors by bombarding the border and thinking that at the end of the day, we should just give them all the hard work that we've done in this country. I just don't understand how, more Americans don't see it that way, or maybe it's just how, you know, the social media has played it. But, you know, the main thing is that I understand, you know, people wanting to have a better life, but guess what? There's a right way to do it. And, you know, I'm glad that, and the president just proposed the plan. So we'll see what happens with that.
Well, you know, Dave, you know, you live pretty close to Silicon Valley. I mean, can you believe what's happening in the areas of suppression and free speech? And these are multi-trillion dollar businesses. We're talking all of the high-tech companies are centralized in Silicon Valley. And they're affecting what happens in California too, aren't they?
They're affecting what's happening, what's going on in the entire country. But yes, was it a couple days ago, my account was locked down twice in one day. You know, and I've been shadow banned ever since they first started doing it. And, you know, if you try to search my, if you're new to Twitter and you try to search my handle, you won't find me because I'm search banned.
I did. I had to get a hold of you privately.
Right.
In order to, I couldn't find you. I could not find you. And, you know, a lot of people are named deplorable on Twitter. You know, I mean, as I said in the beginning, it's a badge of courage. So, you know, Tamika, is there enough red or purple in your congressional district to take a run at this guy in 2020?
Oh, yes, definitely. That's like one of the first things that I looked at. This area is I don't know if rated is the right word, but you know, this area, this district is purple. So I'm not running off of I'm not running off of hope. I'm running off of I have a plan. I have some issues that I want to discuss, and we have solutions. And you know, one of the biggest things is like, you know, if we're purple, that means that there are some people out here that are willing to switch sides.
We're going to take a short break.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I want to talk about the obstacles that we're seeing in the way to a much freer society in California, where people maybe aren't as taxed so high. They're not going to be escaping to Nevada and Arizona. And again, the beauty of California is amazing. But people are getting fed up. So I want to talk about the obstacles, but then I want to talk about the opportunities. So Dave, let's start with Hollywood. What impact are they having on social media and the platforms that they're pitching and really making fun of the Trump administration on TV? I mean, how do we fight this, Dave?
Somehow convince the people to open their eyes, to look for the truth in alternative means, to look for the truth outside of what they hear on TV or they see in the movies, or they, you know, we've been indoctrinated with it for so long. I mean, it's in our school system. It's in our movies. It's in our social media platforms. It's in our, everywhere we turn, we're indoctrinated with the socialist globalist ideals, you know, and the reality of it is, this country was founded as a republic. It was not founded as a democracy. It was founded as a republic. Majority rules was not the way it was supposed to be. Our founding fathers put together a document. They knew that government was a necessary evil.
Okay. Let's I want to move to another subject, and that is the Electoral College. Because Dave, you were talking about population, and the growth in California is staggering, the amount of people. Then you have the illegals. They literally want to go to a popular vote system. Now, Tamika, when you get into Congress, and I'm going to be, you know, positive here, when you get into Congress, how are you going to fight to keep the Electoral College intact? Because if we go to a contract electoral votes or a popular electoral votes, basically you're going to have about four or five states completely controlling the United States. So, first of all, do you believe in the Electoral College, and what can we do to preserve it?
Well, the Electoral College has worked. It still is working. It's just that people don't understand, like Dave said, it's education. People don't realize, I mean, because that's like one of the main things that pops up in people's mind when it comes to the Clinton-Trump election. They're like, oh my God, she won by 3 million votes. We don't even know those are legit votes because illegal aliens have been voting, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things is educating people on the fact that if they're talking about fair, if we're talking about true fairness, how is it fair that from what I remember reading, five counties can call an election, just five, and LA and New York would be the one of the two biggest. And so we need to educate people on what it really means to have electoral college and how every voice needs to be heard. Because when you have Elizabeth Warren telling people that, oh, every, you know, because she's panning the whole popular vote, that's a bunch of baloney. She's not educating the people that are watching her on why it even exists. And it's always worked. We just have people that are disgruntled because their girl didn't win. So it goes back to the education piece.
I'm just thinking aloud about, you know, homeschooling.
Yeah.
Has to become more popular, doesn't it? Because the public school system has really become a government indoctrination system. And we're dealing with huge issues. You know, one of the things I read about you, Tamika, that really hit home for me, and I'll tell you what it is. The reason I do what I do, I write books, I write poetry, trying to be a voice on a censor-free network, because time is a wasting. I'm not going to be here forever. And a lot of people have to step up to the plate and say what needs to be said, because we're not going to be here forever. Things could happen in a moment that change lives, right? And I know from reading about you that you feel a tremendous sense of doing it now. It has to be done now. Is that true for you?
Yes. For me, one of the biggest things I always tell people when they ask me is that there's something in my gut, I can't let this go. I've tried to walk away from it, to be honest, because it's something huge I'm taking on. You know, this is somebody that's been in politics for 40 years. But for me, when I think about my children, I have four children. I have three sons. And when I see that they can be basically persecuted in public, social media, jobs taken away, opportunities lost over an accusation, I had to take a step back and I said, do I really want my children, my sons, to not be spoken for? And how can I be an impact on their lives if I'm sitting back while this is happening and I don't do anything? And I'm not going to let it go. And my daughter, I think about how, you know, well, for all of them, the whole, you know, there's so many different issues, but the main thing is that we have to rise up. And while we all may not agree on the issues, the same, what I always tell people is that we might not agree, but you can't ignore that there's a problem. And the very things that you may want to be censored or taken away are the same things that your child might need one day, because one day they might not agree with you or their peers. Mm-hmm. And you're going to want that law to be there to protect them. But because you want to, you know, take action on your, because of your feelings, I mean, that does not make sense. We need logic. We need people to step away from their feelings and look at the fact that the Constitution is there for a reason. Our kids and our future is so, so, so important now more than ever.
Well said. Dave, Tamika mentions the Constitution. And then I think about the Ninth Circuit Court, which basically controls what happens in California and about five other states. What do the people think out there about the Ninth Circuit? And are we getting any closer to balancing this? I mean, they've effectively stopped at their bench the travel ban, anything to do with immigration, separation of children, asylum, you name it, they are just making policy from the bench.
One of the most important things that the 2018 midterm elections, our victory was the Senate. And the Senate is where all the judges get passed through. And
thank God.
Thank God for that, right? We're getting new judges. We're getting new, and I can see the tide turning. As for what other people's take on the Ninth Circuit, I can tell you what I've heard nationally. I don't know about locally. Like I was saying before about the Constitution and our founding fathers knowing that government was a necessary evil, they designed a system that was dysfunctional. They did it on purpose. And one of the things that I was talking about with my friend earlier is that the genius of the whole thing was that they knew that government overreach, if one party was in power more than the other, would be an issue. So they put in place these safeguards. You know, they appoint representatives by population. So the larger the population that you have in a state, you get more representatives in the House.
Correct.
But the Senate is divided in twos. Each state only gets two. And the Senate is the firewall. You can pass whatever you want through the House, but the Senate has ultimate authority to strike it down.
That's why I'm not worried about impeachment, except for the rhinos.
Yeah.
You know,
I would agree.
I agree with you. You know, I agree with you 100% that the Senate is really the place. And it's a great expression. I never thought of it that way, but it is a firewall. That's a great thought, Dave. So, you know, and other constitutional issues are coming up. I had heard that California wants to start removing Bibles from bookshelves. Is that true, Tamika?
Yes, they tried and they did not succeed in passing that. That's like, oh God, we could go on and on about that, but they did not succeed. Dave, did you have anything else on that? Because I think that was like when I heard about it, I heard it on the tail end of it. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Because, you know, that also would affect, obviously, churches. And, you know, they've already, it's like, I almost want to go on a tangent, but I'm going to stop myself.
You can go on a little tangent. Talk to us about it. We've got some time.
Well, I just, you know, one thing that you did say that, you know, California is such an interesting state when it comes to religion. Yes. And we talk about that, well, there's this thing, you know, oh, we're free, we're carefree, you do what you want, you do what you please. But when it comes to faith, you know, oh, we got to stop. And I really have a hard time with this ideology of tolerance, but yet we are not exercising it when it comes to the left. And so, you know, I've only lived here 3 years. And when I hear about these things, I'm just so heartbroken because, you know, that's not what I thought it was going to be when I moved here. And to see that this is the true California that I live in, I always caution people when they're saying, oh, I want to move out here. It's not for the faint at heart. But my husband and I, we decided to live here and stay here, and we want to raise our children here because there are good people here, and there are people here that want to make some changes. And unfortunately, there is an enemy that's really an enemy of the people that is trying, that have been successful in a lot of laws. Like when you talk about sex education, when you talk about the high taxes, and mm-hmm. then with the last one that they just proposed that, you know, we can't even know what you're doing with our money anymore with the taxes. Did you see that, Dave? We can't even know what they're doing with their money anymore, and they actually passed it. And I don't understand why
it's called control. It's power and control.
Right, and so it's my thing. It's like if this state says they're so free and they're so liberal and they're not showing that definition of it with the laws that they're creating.
No. I want to turn to some opportunities. And also, Dave, I would like to, if you could take a moment to tell us a little about the organization Patriots Rise that I mentioned in the beginning in your bio.
So in after the 2018 midterms, I was part of a group and during 2018 that pushed really hard to try to promote conservative candidates for Congress and for the Senate and for the 2018 midterms, and we lost the House. I started seeing a lot of in January. I started seeing a lot of things changing in our state. And somebody had came to me and was organizing an event in Washington, D.C. And this person had told me, well, wouldn't it be a great thing if we could organize one of these events in every state? Well, I started trying to put something together. And everywhere I turned, I either got, oh, that's a great idea. I wish somebody would do something. Or excuses as to, you know, why they couldn't, or, you know, and I chalked it up to fear. People were just afraid of speaking out. So I put together a website where I could promote other people trying to do the same thing at the same time, put together, organize, and promote our own events. And try to get the people in California, the conservative voice, to be more proactive. I mean, the left's been doing it for years. You know, they're really organized. They know how to do these things.
Yes, and we don't. Do. They stick together, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They really do. So I want to ask you, Tamika, and then we'll start wrapping this a little bit. Is when did you know that you wanted to make a difference to go into politics?
I had been kind of sitting with it for the past year. And then January this year, I just said, you know what, I'm going to make a phone call and I'm going to find out when the next meeting is. Because I had seen too many things that didn't sit well with me. And I said, okay, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to do it, you know.
That's great.
And so here I am.
Well, you know, our platform is a national platform, but at the same time, we do tackle some local issues. So we'll try to get whatever help you can that you're needing. I don't know how you're doing your fundraising. If you want to, you know, let us know if there's a website or a way to help you along financially, because we definitely need more conservatives. We need people to step up all over the country, but California is especially true. But here's the positive side. No matter how blue California may be, when you win a district, you have a voice in Congress, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
So that's the positive that people forget. They say, oh, I shouldn't vote because the whole of California, all their electoral votes is this and that, and they're a blue state. Meanwhile, if you beat John Garamendi, you go to Washington, don't you? You are a voice in that House of Representatives. So we have to look individually. That's what the left is doing. That's how AOC got to where she is. I heard it was a casting couch.
Yes.
Think about that. People, think about that, that we can win battles all over the country. I want to just thank both of you. This is not an easy discussion to try to understand the global of politics in California. I would encourage our listeners to... Our platform in America Out Loud is exploding. We've got content. We have blogs. We have podcasts. We have shows. I would recommend you go to the media player at America Out Loud and see how everything and everybody are connected. And there's just some fabulous content, whether it's military or Blue Lives, or in my case, I'm talking about the events in the Trump presidency, and so on. Please take the time to come to our platform and get the benefit of it. And in closing, I'd like to read a poem It's called California Screaming. Eureka, there's gold. Find a stagecoach and horse. Get your pickaxe and pan. They're coming in force. So it began, the journey out west. California's the place to grow and invest. Four major families would call all the shots. For 80-odd years, gold filling their pots. Along came the Gipper. Then Arnold would show. Republican leadership with a Hollywood glow. But something strange happened. They gave up the reins. Along came new socialists with a Democrat refrain. Feinstein and Getty, Boxer and Brown, chipped away at the Republic. No conservative voice could be found. They opened the border, illegals and voting abuse. The Ninth Circuit Court, leftists running the roost. Harris and Newsom appear on the stage, Schiff and Pelosi causing conservative rage. Is this the new model of what America would be? The Golden State has been tarnished from valley to sea. Love, Ray Ray, and a poem.